We need to thank God for all that we have. The cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. A Savior who prays, a Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God.
We think that life should always be fair. We make a mistake when we try to compare. Sure, God is concerned about what we need, but there's more than what's here. There's eternity. The grass is not greener on the other side. Since the Garden of Eden, that's been Satan's lie. We need to confess how much we've been blessed. We need to thank God.
We need to thank God for all that we have. The cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. A Savior who prays, a Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God.
That swims in an ocean of gain, while the righteous drown in a river of pain. And sometimes it seems that God doesn't care that the wicked get wealthy while his people despair. But there's an appointment that all men will keep. Those souls without God won't like what they reap. When we consider their end and the wages of sin, we need to thank God.
We need to thank God for all that we have. The cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. A Savior who prays, a Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God. We need to thank God. We need to thank God.
Oh, man, you know what? Maybe we just need to come to church one night and just have a thank fest, amen. Right? Just thank God for all that he's done. Folks, you're not going to thank him enough, I promise you. And, boy, that'd be a great thing if we spend a little more time giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And it's good to see you tonight. Go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, please. We're going to continue in our study. And tonight, I know, looking at the material that I have, I know I'm not going to get done, so we're going to have to extend this one more Wednesday night as we examine ourselves. And remember, I told you last week that, you know, you're going to find in your Christian life that examination is going to come from three areas. It's going to come from yourself, it'll come from men, and it'll come from God. And so we're going to look at those three over the course of the next weeks, but I felt that it was important for us to examine ourselves first, then we'll look at how men examine us as a believer, and then we'll look at how God examines us. So go ahead and take your Bible, 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 13 and verse number 5. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to jump right on into things here, and I'll get about as far as I can get tonight, and we'll pull up there and to finish this portion of our study out next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Paul writing here in the concluding chapter as he writes to the church at Corinth. By the way, this church had made incredible strides forward, comparatively speaking, when you look at 1 Corinthians and all the things that they were involved in. And then we come to 2 Corinthians, And he finishes out the book and starts winding things down. And he makes this statement to the church in verse number 5. He says, examine yourselves. He says, whether you be in the faith. He said, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And I want to take that first phrase there that Paul mentioned. He said, examine yourselves. We need to take a hard look at ourselves. And I think when we do that, I think we'll find some things that need to be corrected. Hey, you might even find some things you like and want to continue to do. But you're not going to find anything if you don't examine yourself on a regular and consistent basis. And I want to take this and continue our study on examining ourselves. Now, Father, we're thankful for the evening. Thank you for Wednesday night. We do pray that you'd bless now as we get into the message. We pray that you'd stir our hearts and that we would take to heart the message tonight and go home and put to practice what we're going to be learning tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Let me just rehash just a couple of things, if I could, quickly with you that we talked about last week. I told you last week that most examinations are not fun, they're not free, and they're certainly not fast. It's going to take time in the examination process. You know, most young people don't go up to a mirror, and matter of fact, you know, I've never seen a mirror that wasn't kind or that drew teenagers like a magnet. And they find a mirror. You know, many times they take time and spend time in front of the mirror. They don't just walk by and say, yeah, everything looks fine. No, they get a close look. You know, they look from the side and the front, look for here. I mean, they want to check everything out, make sure that everything's right before they go out. And the thing about it is they do that even if it's a thunderstorm out and they're fixing to get soaking wet, but they still want to make sure that they leave the house in the right condition. Well, you know, we kind of need to be that way in the Lord's work. We need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look at every area of our life. I told you last week that many times when we go to prayer and we ask God, Lord, here I am, I surrender all. Please, anything that would stand in the way of me serving you, Lord, please remove it. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but every one of you prayed something like that before. And the Holy Spirit says, wonderful. You know what? Now let's open up the doors of all these secret places that you've got in your life and let's start cleaning the closets out. And he says, all right, hand over the keys. And that's when we start to buckle a little bit because now he's starting to get a little bit personal. Now the reason I say that is because, you know, when we begin to examine ourselves, we'll find the things that are incorporated in examination. Remember, I told you last week that many times you will find that examination is inconvenient. When you go to the doctor, you know, it's always, you know, he's looking up your nose, your ear, your eye, down your throat. I mean, he's looking, you know why? It's just inconvenient. It takes time to go. And most of us, if we could do anything, we wouldn't go to the doctor for an examination. You know, if we had to, if we knew that drinking a gallon of green tea would get us over it, we'd do it. Why? Because it's awkward. It's a little difficult to go through the process. So a lot of times we won't examine ourselves because it's just flat out inconvenient. I said secondly last week that it's not just inconvenience, but it's invasive. It's intrusive. You have to be aggressive if you're going to have an examination. I've got a wonderful doctor. I've had him for 20-some-odd years, and I'm telling you, when I get there, he'll ask me question after question after question. He's very, very thorough. He's one of those doctors, he ain't going to write you no prescription unless he knows exactly what's wrong. Now, I like that, but I wish sometimes he'd just call it in because I know what's wrong with me. And sometimes he will if I cry. But what I'm saying to you is sometimes we don't go through the examination process because of inconvenience, and then it's intrusive because you know what? We're going to find some things in our life we don't like. And it's going to be glaring things in our life that we don't like. So sometimes we don't do it because it's intrusive. Sometimes we don't do it because we know it's going to incriminate us. We're going to be guilty. And boy, I'm telling you, once we find those things and conviction comes upon us and it incriminates us and it charges us of being involved in something wrong. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Wrong is wrong, all right? It's just flat out wrong. And when we find that wrong in our life, let's don't try to hide it. Let's just confess it before God. Say, Lord, I'm flat out wrong. And you know, it may be that we're wrong with another brother. You wouldn't get it right. Do you know there's nothing wrong with going to a brother and saying, you know what, my friend, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong in how I went about this and what I said. And, you know, we need to find that. But, boy, we just that incrimination to find some things that we're not going to like there. A lot of times we're standoffish. But may I say to you, number four, I said that examination can be informative. It can be informative. You know, it can be instructive. It will give you information about where you are in your Christian life and how to go forward. And by the way, we need more information. A lot of times we think that ignorance is going to get us by in the Lord's work. But may I tell you that when we face the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be an excuse of ignorance there, because we have the Word of God. And then I said last week that it is intensive. It's concentrated. It's exhausted. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If we do a hard examination and look at ourselves like we need to look at ourselves, well, I'm telling you, it can be an exhausting thing. You can come out of your prayer closet absolutely mentally exhausted because you've looked in every corner of your life, you've looked at every place in your heart, and you have emptied yourself before God. Now, that's what I'm talking about, examination. I'm not talking about us getting there and just looking ourselves in the mirror and saying, well, I don't know what the preacher's talking about. I look fine. You know, but that's what we do. We look inside, and if we don't see something glaringly ugly, we think we're okay. We got to dig a little deeper. We got to find a little bit, go a little bit deeper. You'll find some things there. Now, last week I mentioned to you that the first thing that we talked about is what to examine about ourselves. And the first thing that I talked to you about is we need to determine who we are. And I spent a lot of time talking about, are you born again? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. There's nobody in this congregation without excuse anymore. Without excuse. Nobody's without excuse. If the trumpet of God sounds tonight and there's somebody left in the pew, you're in big trouble. Big, big trouble. And you know what? It didn't have to be that way if we had done a close examination and found out, have I experienced the wonderful salvation of God? Have I been born again? And if we do that and look into ourselves, we'll find out, yea, we have, or no, we have not. Now, that leads me into the next thing that I want to talk to you about tonight. I asked last week, are you a born-again believer? Tonight, I'm going to ask you, are you a Baptist by conviction? You see, I'm not only a Baptist by conviction, I'm a Baptist by choice. Now, you've heard me say this from the pulpit here before, and I'll say it again, that if I had examined the Scriptures and if I found out that there was some other place that was closer to the truth or preaching more of the truth and believe more of the truth than what I found in the Baptist faith, that's what I'd be. But there's not, folks, because I'm here to tell you that Bible doctrine is Baptist doctrine. You know how I found that out? I got challenged for somebody right after I got saved. I was raised in a Pentecostal church all my life. Up till I was 18 years old, got away from that and didn't go into church anywhere, basically from 18 to 23. And after I got saved, I was challenged, read the New Testament. I read the New Testament, and you know what? I sat it down, I thought, that's what I am. I wasn't the other, that's Baptist. That's what it is. Everything that preacher preached, it's right there in the Bible. Listen, if you just read the Bible, I don't know how you can come out being anything else. Now, I'm just saying, if we're sitting in the pew tonight, are we Baptists by conviction? May I say to you, do we believe Baptist doctrine? You say, what's that, preacher? Well, how about, do we believe in the eternal security of the believer? Now, listen, I love saying this. Oh, I love it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I love to say that because that just rubs people the wrong way that don't believe in eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. Man, I'm telling you, they go into convulsions because they don't believe it. But you know, the amazing thing is, work salvation people can't ever tell you how much work it requires to be saved. And at what point would I ever know that I am saved if it was of works? And then I take them over and I show you. You know, the Bible says that if it was possible for me ever to be unborn, I could never be born again. Because Jesus came and died once for sinners. And he ain't coming back to die again. Matter of fact, the next time he's coming back, he's not coming back as Savior, he's coming back as King. And he is not a happy camper this time. Now, I'm here to say, do we believe Baptist doctrine? Do we believe in the eternal security of the believer that once we're saved, you're always saved? You say, well, preacher, don't people get off track and act like they're not saved? Yeah, just like we all do. You know, in certain situations, we all act like we're not saved. But eternal security, thank God, salvation doesn't have anything to do with me as much as it has to do with the Lord. He's, listen, it's by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. I accept it, it's mine. Nobody can take it from me. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the triune God. Hey, the scripture is very plain that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You can't get around it. How do you get around that? Oh, you say, but preacher, I know how they get around it. Yeah, the same way I know they get around it. You just take it out of the Bible. Isn't it amazing if you don't believe it? Just take it out. And then they could say, well, see, look there, it's not in my Bible. You know, I wonder what our King James Bible would look like if we just took a pair of scissors and cut out everything we don't practice. You see how thick my Bible is? If I begin to cut out everything I don't practice, I probably wouldn't be left but about 10, 15 pages. Because you know what? Be honest with me now, folks. We practice only a part of the Bible that we believe. The rest of it, if we just say, hey, I just don't believe, we just shove it to the side. Hey, what I'm saying to you is, do we believe in eternal security? Do we believe in the triune God? Do we believe in heaven and hell? Listen, you say, oh, yes, preacher, I believe in heaven. Listen, the Bible describes it as such a beautiful place. All right, do you believe in hell? Do we believe in hell? You say, oh, yes, preacher, oh, yes, I believe in hell. Then why aren't we doing a better job at keeping people out of it? Why? We say we believe it. Why? Listen, when's the last time that we passed a track out or talked to somebody? And listen, sometimes God will even say, listen, you don't even have to leave your house. I'm going to send somebody to your door. They'll come to our door, knock on our door, open it up. I ain't got time for that. Close the door, and the Holy Spirit's going, just shaking his head. And he'll say, you know what? I'm going to send somebody else by there. And somebody will come 2 or 3 days later, knock on the door, come here. I ain't got time for that. Shut the door, and the Holy Spirit's like, what? Are you serious? Folks, if we believed in hell like we say we do, we'd be more fervent about talking to people about Christ. I'm just telling you, we would. And I'm talking about from this pulpit down to the pew. I'm talking about from this preacher to the pew to everybody that's a member of this church. If we believed in hell, we'd talk to people more about it. Do we believe in world evangelism? Hey, are we not commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Now listen, all I'm saying to you folks, this is Baptist doctrine. Are we Baptist by conviction and Baptist by choice? Do we believe in the local New Testament church? Let me take a step further. Do we believe in the autonomy of the church? You say, okay, explain. What does that mean, preacher? I tell you what that means. That means that you know what our concern ought to be? What goes on in this church? Yeah, what goes on right here? Folks, listen, you know what? We got enough on our plate. We got enough ministries here to get involved in, enough ministries here to go forward with. We need to be concerned about what's going on and what God's doing at Trinity Baptist Church. You say, but preacher, what if we don't agree with the church down the road? All right, what if we don't? I ain't got time, and neither do you. You know what you got time for? You got the same amount of time that I do. We got enough time to take care of the business and the ministry that God has put us in here. You say, but what if we disagree? Then you know what? We're just going to have to agree to disagree and begin to serve God here and do what, that's what I'm talking about, the autonomy of the church.
We get to make the decisions as God leads us here. We're responsible for our ministry. We're responsible for our service for God in this local church located 2212 North Davis, Arlington, Texas, USA. That's what we're responsible for. Do you believe in the return of Jesus? You know what, folks? The older I get, I just include in my prayer time, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You say, but preacher, what if he comes and I've got friends and family members that are lost? I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got friends and family members lost, but my dear friend, there's something in me that burns greater, and that is to see Christ Jesus. Oh, I want to see him face to face. And you know what? The thing about it is, I understand he's coming, but I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I don't believe that anything else has to be fulfilled in order for Jesus Christ to split the eastern sky. And glory to God, if he came tonight, it'd be fine with me. Man, I'm telling you, just think about it, Brother Homar. Man, if Jesus came tonight, he wouldn't have to face that situation, but just one more day. You'd go up perfect. Lord said, you know, as soon as Brother Hallmark landed in heaven, he said, next time, turn that treadmill off. Let me say something. I could go through all the doctrines of the Baptist Church. Let me just hit on one. Do we believe that right there is the inspired Word of God? If I didn't believe it, I'd throw it in the trash. I would. I'd throw it in the trash if I didn't believe that I had the absolute words of God in my hand in the English language. I'd throw it in the trash. But folks, that right there is your owner's manual to your life. Open it up, and guess what you'll find? You will find out how to live for God. That's what you'll find. You'll find out what you're supposed to be doing for God. You'll find out a bunch of things in the Scripture that we're supposed to be doing for God. But you know what we're going to do? We got to examine, right? We got to examine ourselves. Hey, have we been born again? And are we Baptist? Do we believe Baptist doctrine? I told you something Sunday, and I'm going to say it again to you. The closer that we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, Paul warned Timothy about men coming into the church, malicious men, unawares. They will come in pretense of being Baptist and believing Baptist doctrine and having no intentions whatsoever of following the Baptist faith. And they'll try to sneak in and begin to sow discord among the brethren because they're not Baptistic in philosophy. They're not Baptistic in belief. And you know something? We'll find out real quick because by their fruits, you shall know them. And let me just tell you something, church. When somebody, if anybody, comes and tries to begin to spread false doctrine and heresy, you know what you need to do? First thing you need to do is give me a phone call. Because, you know, as a pastor of a church, the pastor is supposed to point out the wolves and say, hey, sheep, wolf. Right? That's what he's supposed to do. Hey, the Bible says the pastor's a watchman. He's looking over the flock. He's like a shepherd on the hillside watching. Huh? Wolf. Do you know, I can tell the difference between a dog and a wolf. Am I right, Brother Carlos? If you've ever been hunting, you ever been in the woods, you can tell the difference. I was sitting in my stand the other day, and I was sitting, I didn't see nothing. And I was sitting there, and I heard something, look down there, and here's a coyote running across there. You know what? I knew the difference. I thought, you know what? That's not a poodle. That's not a chihuahua. He stopped right out in front of me, looked around, didn't even know I was sitting up the tree. I said, no, you know what? That's a coyote. That's what that is. I know the difference. And can I say something to you? You'll know the difference between a sheep and a wolf. Because, and you know what? We need to point them out. You say, oh, preacher, would a wolf come in among the sheep? Absolutely it will. And our day's coming. You just hang on. But you know what? As a sheep, wolf comes trying to spread heresy, trying to spread false doctrine. You know what you need to do? You need to do like all sheep do. And you know what sheep do, don't you? You just need to start screaming. Help! Right? Now see, the thing about it is, if we don't say anything, that's just going to spread. And he's going to get sheep after sheep after sheep until somebody starts screaming. And you know what? As a sheep, you ought to look that wolf in the face and say, you know what? You're a wolf. And you know what you've been? You've been a wolf. I've been watching you, and you've been a wolf in sheep's clothing for a long time. And now I'm going to call you what you are. You're a wolf. So, oh, preacher, does that mean spirited? Well, let me just say this. Jesus said something a little bit even more intense to the Pharisees. He said, you vipers, you hypocrites. You know why? Because you have to point out the wolves. I'm just asking, do we believe Baptist doctrine? Are we Baptist by conviction and Baptist by choice? Let me move on and say this. Do we believe in separation from the world? Do you know there ought to be a difference between believers? And wait a minute, let me step back and say this. I'm saying separation, not isolation. Okay? We're to be separate. There ought to be a difference between the people of God and the world, but we shouldn't be isolated nor insulated from the world. See, we're in the world, but we're just not supposed to be of the world. You see, do we believe in separation from the world? First of all, there needs to be personal separation. Would you take your Bible and flip over, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I'm going to just say something that just came to mind here, and I thought about this. I thought about what's going to happen when the day when that comes. But you know, folks, there's going to come a day when I'm preaching from this pulpit, and someone, a wolf, is going to stand up and try to rebuke me from the floor. Okay, now here's, you say, oh, preacher, what do? We do like all sheep do. We attack the wolf. I don't mean body attack him. You know what? Our ushers instructed, they come down, they ask the gentleman or ma'am, you need to come with me. You need to step out. You're disturbing the peace. And then if nobody wants to call, then you just flip your phone out and you call 911. I've got some buddies, amen, Brother Raphael, that will come and they will be your friend for a few minutes. Now, folks, listen to me. We've got to understand, it's not wrong to point out a wolf. It's not wrong when a wolf tries to devour other sheep that we point him out or go to him and say, you're a wolf. Because that's going to come. That day is going to come. I'm trying to prepare all of us. I'm just saying, do we believe in separation from the world? You find your place in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at a couple of verses here, if you would, please. In verse number 15 to begin with, Paul says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Of course they do. He had told them, preached to them that many times. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? What does he say? God forbid. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about personal separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All I'm saying, folks, we need to examine ourselves. We need to stand before God and say, Lord, am I practicing separation from the world? Do people see a difference in my life because of Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you there? Verse number 14. Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, we understand he's talking about separation between saved and unsaved, not marrying unbelievers. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I can answer that, none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And the answer is none. And what agreement hath the temple of God, which is you and I, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out, come out, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, there just needs to be personal separation. I'm going to give you some verses here. You can look them up in your spare time. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 2. God talks about Israel being a peculiar nation that he had separated unto himself. If you'll remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that tells us there that we are peculiar people. That word peculiar means distinct. It means separate from others. Oh, it means strange. You, if anybody ever say, boy, you're a strange one. You know what? Don't say, what'd you say? You ought to say, man, thank you. Thank you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? They've noticed something different. And we're to be peculiar people. You see, do we believe in separation from the world? That identity that would identify a believer with the world. We need to be separate from it. You know, folks, here, we as Baptists, we don't believe in ecumenicalism. Now, that's just a big word, teenagers. Just say, we don't believe that all faiths come under one banner. Now, you listen to me. People that believe that philosophy are caught up in an let me back up here. People that are trying to bring all faiths under one roof, under one religion, under one direction, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, because that's where everything will be funneling just prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen, I'm all for standing up against wrong. I'm all for standing up for morals. I'm all for standing this for what's right and shouting it on the housetop. But you know what? When it comes down to preaching to the local church, Baptist preachers need to be preaching to Baptist folk. Right? I'm just saying that's the way it ought to be. Because I think the Lord said, how can two walk together in Amos 3:3 except they be? Okay, I don't understand how we miss that so often. Let me say one other thing. We're going to have to stop here, and that's this. Jesus told his disciples to separate from the Pharisees of their day. Turn one last passage, if you would, Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. You see, we'll find all this out, folks, when we examine ourselves. Okay? When we examine ourselves. When we examine ourselves and find that, are we Baptist or not Baptist? Do we believe Baptist doctrine or not? Do we believe in separation from the world or not? Do we believe in not just personal separation, but ecclesiastical separation? And Jesus even told his disciples, Matthew 15, 14, did you find your place? Look in verse number 13. But he answered and said, Jesus speaking, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now I want you to listen to what he says. He says, let them alone. And we don't have time to go back and read the entire passage, but he's talking about the Pharisees, and you can find that when you go to chapter 15, verse number 1. He's talking about scribes and Pharisees. Listen to what he told his disciples. He said, let them alone. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say not have concern for their soul. He just said, leave their traditions alone. Leave their hierarchy. Leave their attitude. Leave their spirit alone. And may I say to you tonight, dear folk, there's some things that we need to leave alone. We just need to leave it alone. Say, preacher, are we again folk? Nope. You know what I am? I'm not anti-people. I'm pro-Jesus. That's all I am. And the last time I checked, you know what Jesus said? Told his disciples, he said, my friends, he said, you need to love one another. He says, by loving one another shall all men know that you're my disciples. That you know what? We need to treat everybody kindly because everybody's having a hard time. And I don't give a flip if you're at the grocery store and someone messes your bill up or shorts you change or whatever, it does not give you nor me the right to butcher their character or call them everything but a human being. I don't think they're going to identify us as a disciple. You know how we, you say, preacher, how do we find all this? Just take a look at yourself. Just examine yourself where you are. And then when we come together next Wednesday, we talked about looking at what we are. And next week, we're going to talk about looking within ourselves. Okay? I'm talking about looking into our spirit, our attitude toward not just toward each other, but toward people outside the church as well. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born again. I know that Jesus is Savior.